Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Smith. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been hearing from the word of the Lord, and I just feel a direction in the Holy Ghost today. I want to say that I'm thankful that we are in this house for such a time as this, and I'm thankful that we have been able to be with this great church. You know, a lot is said about the pastor and his wife, and I will say a few things here in a little bit, but I want to say that this church has stuck with this pastor and his wife and family. Wouldn't have a church without people.
That's right.
Amen? That's right. And you are a precious people. I can honestly say in a lot of our conversations that this church has talked about, and each one of you, maybe not by name so much, but this certain sister or this certain brother, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're coming to church, and these type of conversations, truly, Pastor Smith has a pastor's heart, and he believes in this church. And I can say that he would probably never tell you those little stories, but I will, and I know that he loves this church. I am so impressed with the spirit of the church and spirit of the city and the leadership, and I do want to say that Pastor Smith, he is my cousin, but it's a lot deeper than family. It's a spiritual connection. It's a man of God that I've been able to watch. I was talking to my wife on the way home last night. And sometimes you can get emotional. But I said, you know, there's one thing I can say about, and I said Brent, but Pastor Smith, is his faithfulness. What he was 10 years ago, it's what he is today. He hasn't changed. He's the same man he was 15 years ago. Same man today. And I think in 10 years from now, we'll be able to say he's the same man he was 10 years ago. And that's to be commended. And I'm so thankful. With an ever-changing world and directions and chaos, it's good to have something that's solid, unmovable. Praise God. Thanks again for this invite. I do appreciate it. And I feel like that the bar was set pretty high last night. Pastor Hainer just flat out preached. And wow, we don't preach. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. But the spirit of the service was definitely charged. And what a direction. What a direction. And so today I want to just kind of wrap it up for this segment of services with a direction and with a challenge of sorts. And I believe that we are on a mission, and there is a direction for this church and for the body of Christ. And I believe that in the last days, yes, perilous times are going to come. But I also believe there's going to be a mighty revival. A great revival that is going to not only spread throughout small communities, but it's going to spread throughout the world. And I love what Pastor Hainer preached last night. And how can we go across the pond if we're not reaching in our backyards? Amen. There's ministry. There's ministry that will take you across the ponds, to the four corners of the earth. But you don't have to go very far at all to find somebody hurting, somebody suffering, somebody longing and desiring something for God. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, this has been on my heart for a while, and I kind of thought we would end in this direction, but I didn't really know. But it has been totally ordained of God that we're going to move in this direction today. Romans chapter number 1, we'll begin reading with verse number 16. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have been blessed by this revival. It's amazing how that people can just draw it out of you. And you have certainly drawn it out of me this week. And Romans chapter number 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Hallelujah. Everyone. That's everybody. That doesn't leave anybody out. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I have several settings here. I'm sorry, I told you I'd give you some advance, but this is your advance. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 16. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 16. Praise God. I love the word of the Lord. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I wonder, I've got a little side note here. And it said, I will pour out of my spirit. It didn't say I will pour out my spirit. Now, I wonder if that's because he intended it to continue to be poured out. Poured out of. There's just a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there. There's always going to be some. Poured out of my. He's going to continue to pour out his spirit. Hallelujah. That Mike could preach sometime. Upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. Hallelujah. There it is again. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and the signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, there is that statement again that it's for everybody, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that. I believe it. If somebody desires it, somebody wants it, all they have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. He is faithful. He's faithful that promised. Let's turn in our Bibles to Daniel chapter number 11 and verse 32. Sorry for the little lengthy reading here. We're going to just kind of, I'd like to lay a little foundation with the scripture here. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries. The last portion of this verse is what we want to focus on. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Yeah. One more setting, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Hallelujah. This kind of sums up the reading today. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power, and I'm glad it didn't stop there, because we are part of the power here, the power that worketh in us. So there's something that's going to transfer through us today that's going to be effective in winning the lost, in seeing your lives reach another level in God. And I want to preach today for the next few moments, expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. I do appreciate the prayer of your pastor today.
Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you, God, for the group of believers that's gathered here today. We ask that your anointing would rest upon your servant. Let him preach with fervency and a power. Let our faith mix, God, with your message, God, that we can take our believing and what where we're trying to go into a new level and a new dimension today. God, speak to us. Change us, convict us, make us more like you than we've ever been. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor today. Tell him, I'm expecting the unexpected. You may be seated. Praise God, praise God. My brother has had a statement that he has made several times over pulpits and talking to him. And I kind of grabbed it from him, so I'm going to give him the credit for this statement, but I like this statement. And that statement is, expectancy is the breeding ground for a miracle. Think about that. Expectancy is the breeding ground for a miracle. I was thinking about the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts, the Bible says that they had all things in common. After the day of Pentecost, Spirit of God was poured out. He poured his presence out upon all flesh, starting there on the day of Pentecost. And they had all things in common. They were selling their houses and selling their tractors and their lawnmowers and giving the money to the church. And it was a great thing. There was a strong connection of unity in the church. And they had all things in common. I believe more than anything, what they had going for them was an expectancy. I believe that there was a feeling of excitement in the air. You know, whenever that feeling of expectancy comes into play, there is a contagious feeling that begins to move in a group of people. When there becomes an expectancy. I think of many great events and General Conference. Let's use that as a focal point for a moment. There's a lot of planning that goes into those events. They have to call and prepare and get the sound systems lined up. They have to get the Coliseums rented and prepared. Then they have to have committees that plan the speakers and have backup speakers, because sometimes speakers don't always, something comes up. So there's not just the planning of one set of speakers, but there's two sets of speakers already planned in advance, years in advance sometimes. And all this work goes into this one moment. Then there's the flyers that get printed out and all of the paperwork that goes along with that and dealing with the post office and all of the mailings and everything and getting the singers scheduled and making sure everything is just right leading up unto this 1 week of services. And we know that these kind of things don't come off without a lot of planning. But one thing about this that I pick out of all of that is the expectancy in the people. When they begin to read those brochures that go out and hear the talk over the pulpit of this event is coming and this is going to happen, and there's like a little buzz in the air. There's an expectancy of what God is going to do. There is an expectancy, an excitement. It's contagious. Let's switch gears. Go to possibly a fair in the local town that's coming into town, and everybody's excited about the fair that it's coming, and you start to see the machinery move into the field, and leading up into that, then the stories start coming. And man, I remember last year. I remember how that you was on that fair, that thing that went around, and you got sick, and we just had a blast. And you fell off and broke your leg. And man, it was exciting. We had a great time. But these things are contagious when there's expectancy. You expect to have a good time. You expect. And so expectancy, I go back to the first statement, is the breeding ground for a miracle. There needs to be expectancy with the children of God. There needs to be a feeling of excitement when we come into His presence and we come into the house of God. There needs to be that contagious feeling of expectancy. And when I came in today, this morning, I walked into this tabernacle, this dwelling, this place of worship, and I began to feel a little bit of that expectancy of what God was getting ready to do. And the thing that came to my mind was, this is right. This is right. Just like the apostles had all things in common. They were all together. Singleness of heart. Believing the same thing. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That word exploits is a striking or notable deed, a feat, a spirited act. Some of the related words that go along with that is achievement, attainment, success, triumph. I like this one. Adventure. It's an adventure sometimes, living for God. Performance. I'm just crazy enough to believe and think outside the box a little bit that there is a lost world that is searching and longing for something that I have. And if I would let myself yield to the philosophy and the idea of exploits through my life, it might just be an adventure sometimes. You never know what you're going to come in contact when you begin to reach reach out for that lost individual that's lost and undone and needs God. You don't have to always know how the pieces are all going to fall into place, but if there would just be a little bit of expectancy in your life when you wake up in the morning and you say, I'm going to work today, but I might run into somebody that needs God. I might just see somebody that needs salvation for their soul. You see, there's an expectancy inside of you that begins to expect the unexpected and expect something to happen that is outside of the ordinary, that doesn't make sense to the human mind and the carnal mind. But hey, I'm expecting it, God, and you're able to do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When you talk about Jesus, you're going to begin to see a pattern begin to form. He doesn't think like we think. God doesn't think like we think. His MO or mode of operation is not logical sometimes. You want me to dip into the muddy Jordan? That doesn't make sense. That really isn't logical. You want me to go and dip in that muddy stream? I'm sick. Can't you see? I don't look good. But you want me to go and dip in a more muddy stream 7 times and then the deliverance will come. Now just follow with me. Now here's another one. It's there again. It's not our mode of operation, but it's Jesus we're talking about. He sees a man that his eyes were blind and he begins to spit in the dirt. And he says, okay, I'm going to rub this dirt around and make a mud ball. And I'm going to stick it in your eye socket and you're going to be healed. Now, wait a minute. If I was healing that man, this is how I would do it. Thus saith the Lord, be thou healed in Jesus' name. Okay, it's easy. That's what I can think. That's what the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. Jesus' mode of operation is not always our mode of operation. If He wants to heal with a spit and mud and put it in your eye socket, then He's God. He's able to do it and He can do it and the miracle's going to come. All I've got to worry about is expecting it to happen. I'm not going to tell Him how to make it happen. I'm not going to tell Him that there's this sequence of events, God, that I'm going to do and then this is the way it's going to happen. No, I've just got to expect the unexpected. I've got to expect Him to walk through the doors with drug problems and alcohol problems and things pierced through their ears and noses and all kinds of colors all over them. I just have to expect it to happen. The unexpected can happen when you begin to expect it and believe that it's going to happen. No, it's not going to be the way we design it to happen. But God, I expect the unexpected to happen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let me turn this mud into a healing balm and put it in your eyes. How about this one? How about I just turn that water into wine and let you drink of some wine that I'll make? Oh, it was water, but here, just let me turn it into water. How about this one? I must needs go through Samaria. Hallelujah. Oh, but they're dogs. The Samarians, the Samaritan people, they are just a degraded people, and we need to avoid that hated land where they are. Oh no, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. You know why? Because it wasn't our way of operating. It was the unexpected. Nobody expected Jesus to detour through Samaria, but He said, I must needs go through Samaria. I think the message today is this. We cannot look at it through our own eyes, but there needs to be an expectancy inside of us. No, it may seem like we've reached dead-end roads in our walk with God or in our outreach or what's happening here in Winnemac, but it's not what we can do. It's not in our abilities. But when we begin to expect the unexpected, God's going to begin to bring people when our minds will get rid of our thinking and we say, God, no, it has to be this way or it has to be that way. Why don't you just begin to expect the unexpected and let God be God in this town, in this city, and in your lives. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere today. Hallelujah. I'm not necessarily preaching for response today. I just feel a burden upon my heart. We're talking about Jesus. He had a custom, and that custom was, I'm going to do the miracle, but it's not always going to be the way you expect it to be. I'm just going to get beyond my thinking. You see, the unexpected is something that I can't expect. I can't figure it out. The unexpected happens when you just least expect it. So therefore, I'm going to expect the unexpected. I'm going to go ahead and believe that God's able. I'm going to put my trust in Him and my faith in Him and my confidence in a great, big, mighty God. Hallelujah. Unexpected means the not expected, unforeseen, abrupt. I like this one, sudden, unanticipated, unforeseen, unlooked for. Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Acts 16 and 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Verse 26, and suddenly, the unexpected, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. You see, when you begin to expect some things and expect the unexpected, it's going to happen. No, they didn't know. They couldn't lay that plan out. They couldn't create an earthquake. That's why it was the unexpected, because it was God that was doing it. It wasn't their own abilities. They didn't get a lawyer involved and start working it through piece by piece, but they let go of their own understanding and they said, it's going to be unexpected, but I'm just going to begin to expect it and believe that it's going to happen. Immediately the doors were open. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. It's the unexpected that begins to happen when we don't yield to our own understanding and we get a hold of a passion and we believe that God's going to do it and begin to expect it to happen. Bible tells me that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think that it's high time that the children of God are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There are those that are just waiting for a confirming spirit to walk by them, something they can feel. Sometimes it might just be your presence. You see the shadow of Peter just passing by. There were those that were healed. You wonder why people pause in your presence. It's possibly because they feel something coming from inside of your being. You are alive. A city that's been set up on a hill. It cannot be hid. You are somebody. You have the ability to reach down into a dark world and begin to lighten it up. You have the ability to walk into the restaurant and say, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this food and I pray for this restaurant. I pray that God would do something to this owner of this restaurant. I trust and I believe and I expect the unexpected to happen in Jesus' name. Oh, I wish some faith would begin to rise right now in the house. I wish there would be some faith that would begin to rise in this place. We're not just on the backside of the street, but we've been blood bought. We've been saved. We've been given power. We've been endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, if we are ever going to see the unexpected, we are going to have to first expect the unexpected. When that drug addict walks through the doors for the first time, it should not be, they're too far gone. Oh, they're too far out there. But we need to realize they are a delivered drug addict walking through that door. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know the right words to say, but I just expect it. I expect it it to happen. I can't figure it out. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I expect it. You see, that's contagious. When I talk to you, my sister, when I talk to you, my brother, I begin to say, yeah, God's going to fill this house. God's going to bring them from the four corners of this city. No, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I believe he's going to do it. You see, you're expecting some things. You're expecting the miracle to happen. You're expecting God to do the miracle in this city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There was a drug addict in our local church just 6 months ago that was looking and longing for something in his life. Hair whacked out all over his body and down over his shoulders and looked like... anyway, and tattoos everywhere that you could have tattoos and looking a fright. First service, he walks into the church that day, and I'm leaving some out of this story for the sake of time, but was brought to the church. It wasn't necessarily against his will, but it was kind of without his knowledge because he was half passed out. And they brought him to the church in that first service. There he sat on that pew back there with passing out and falling asleep. Wow, we're having church now. Woo, glory. This guy's delivered. He's sitting on a pew sleeping. And own thinking begins to come in. You know, this man don't want a thing to do with church. What is he even doing here? You know, that's the carnal thinking. That's the way we think. 17 days laying on his face in his bathroom floor, doing drugs, barely eating enough to survive. His wife was terribly worried about him, and they got him to church, and we thought, oh great, everything's going good. Got him in Bible study. Hallelujah. We were in Bible study with Freddie and Kendra, and wow, what an awesome time that was. But about the third lesson, guess who stopped coming to Bible study? Freddie. Yeah. What happens to your expectancy then? What happens to your faith then? What happens when you've worked with somebody for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, and they turn around and walk out of your life? See, that stuff happens. It happens. But we need to just keep expecting it. Keep believing it. Keep believing that God's going to do it. We went ahead and kept teaching Bible study on third lesson, fourth lesson, fifth lesson. Here comes Freddie back to church. Something began to happen with inside of him. You see, we went over to his house. We began to, the ministry team from Ebersburg Church went over to his house. And we went into his house. I'll tell you this story. This was powerful. His wife said, my husband is this and he's that and he's all this stuff. And they have a house in New Buffalo and a house in Dowagiac right by their business that they have. Very successful business people, but addicted to drugs and even pushing drugs to a point. And walked into that house that they don't really live in, but it's kind of a house by their business there. And the spirits were so oppressing in that house and so just demonic, if I can put it that way. And we began to pray. First thing we did is we got us a nice big radio and we put on there Breaking Every Chain. Break Every Chain. We cranked it up. We went through that house and we opened every window, every shade, and opened up the blinds. We began to pray. We began to plead the blood. There was pot pipes and crack pipes and everything laying all over the house, drug paraphernalia everywhere. Just a spirit of oppression. We began to pray. We began to plead the blood. And we walked in the basement, walked in the bedrooms, in the bathrooms, anointing doorways and beds and bathroom sinks with anointing oil, began to plead the blood of the Lamb. You see, we were expecting something to happen. We were expecting something to happen. We didn't know what it was. We just know God, we're believing and expecting in the unexpected. We began to pray. It wasn't but just 2 or 3, 4 weeks, maybe a month later, that man was in an altar in our church, weeping under the power of the Holy Ghost, as God filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost and delivered him instantly from those drugs. You're talking about a 27, 28 year drug addict that had been through AA meetings and done all of the things known to man for to get deliverance from drugs. And he fought his cravings and his urges, but immediately that drug problem was taken from him. The next day, I was sent a picture of a man clean shaven and a haircut. Didn't even look like the same individual. He was changed instantly by the power of God. I'll tell you what it was. It was the unexpected that just happened in old Freddie's life. And today, you're going to see Freddie dressed in a suit. Not that you have to wear a suit, but he wants to be more like the preachers. He's wearing a suit, sitting on about halfway back. And just last week, Pastor Jeans, my brother, talked to him about being trained to teach the CIP program and teach the people how to be delivered from drugs and alcohol. You'll see him bouncing up at the front of the altar. I'm talking about expecting the unexpected in the name of Jesus. We don't have to expect anything but the unexpected. Hallelujah. No, it's not the way I would have mapped it out. I would have wanted him to come to an altar immediately. But God said in my timing, I'm going to do the miracle. I'm going to bring the deliverance in my time, the way I want to bring it. And the unexpected happened in Freddie's life. Hallelujah. What a powerful, powerful testimony. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The music wants to come. I'm going to wrap this up. I have so many stories. I have so many things I could say. Hallelujah. Oh, for the miracle to ever happen, we first have to get the miracle to where God is. We have to believe and we have to expect the unexpected. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. We just finished Bible study with Freddie and Kendra about 3 weeks ago. What an awesome testimony. What an awesome move of the Holy Ghost that moved in that. We're still praying for Kendra to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But Freddie is one of the most powerful men right now in our church. That pastor begins to preach, and guess who's standing up? Guess who's shouting, "Preach it, Pastor! Preach it, Pastor!" You see, it's the unexpected that happened. Oh, when God does the unexpected, it's going to be exciting. We just need to get to where we can begin to expect the unexpected. Hallelujah. Blind Bartimaeus began to realize that the power of God was the power that could deliver. Peter and John started expecting the unexpected, and that miracle began to take place. He said, "Such as I have, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." Hallelujah. We just have to get that expectancy today, church. God's going to do it. I want to fast forward just a minute here. Hallelujah. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and then shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that it's time to begin to expect the unexpected. Let's expect angels in our midst. Let's expect our lost loved ones to call you out of the blue and say, guess where I'm going today? I'm going to that church where you go to church. Let's begin to expect people coming in off the streets, cancers being healed.